Well, good morning. We've had a pretty exciting morning around here today. I don't know if you know this, but we did not have any power at the first service. So of course, right, as we become dependent on all of this technology and power, the power goes out just to keep us humble. But I tell you what, preaching without amplification, hard work. So I am really grateful for power today. There's sermon illustration in there somewhere. I'll bring it up some other time. So we are in the midst of this sermon series on our new mission, identity statements. A very important sermon series because we are entering a new chapter in the life of our church. Yesterday, our elders met for our annual session retreat. Great time together. And I have to tell you, it was so different from a year ago. We are looking forward and not looking back. And we brainstormed and talked about the future vision, thought about, you know, the question I asked a couple weeks ago, what can we become? And generated all kinds of ideas. One of the elders suggested that we come back to you and share those in some town hall meetings, get your feedback just like we did when we put together the mission statement. So we'll do that to get your feedback as to the future of the church. You know, the mission statements kind of gives us the broad outline of where we're going. And then now we're digging down deep into ministries and programs and different things that we will do in the future to fulfill our ministry and mission here at the church. So when those come, please join us so that we can hear your voices. So last week or 2 weeks ago, we took the first line of our new mission statement, we are called by God. And that is basically God calls us into this relationship with him. God accepts us just as we are through grace with all our imperfections and all the stuff in our lives. Through his grace, God calls us to be accepted by him, to be in this intimate relationship with him. But also, God calls us to do his work, just like I said with the young disciples up here today. So God accepts us, embraces us through what Christ has done for us, something we cannot do on our own. That's what grace is. But it doesn't stop there. There's more. God has so much more for us. He calls us to this lifelong journey of transformation. And that's what we're going to explore today, the second line of our mission statement, which is transformed by grace. So let's pray, and then we'll jump in. God, we thank you that you call us, first of all, that you accept us through your grace, your unconditional love, something that we can never do on our own, that you have done for us. And God, we thank you that you have so much more for us, that you just don't save us, but you invite us into a lifelong journey of transformation, walking with you through all the seasons of life. So God, we pray that today you would teach us, give us a clear word that would be helpful for us. May you speak to us with power and with full conviction. We pray these things in Christ's name, amen. So the scripture today comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. In this passage, of course, Ephesians is the church book. God, or Paul, lays out his vision for the church, God does. And so in this chapter, Paul is talking about body life, how we relate to one another in the church, and what the goal of us working together is. So listen now to the word of God. The gifts, spiritual gifts, he gave Christ were that some would be apostles. Now he lists these some of the spiritual gifts, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Here's the purpose, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, the church, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. To maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown away about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part, you, is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord. My guess, in fact, my very strong hunch, not just guess, is that every single one of us sitting here today yearns for some kind of change in our lives. We yearn for transformation, whether it be for the power to overcome some habit or destructive addiction. Maybe we yearn for healing in our lives, that God would change us to be healed, that we could be free from maybe a stranglehold of some hurt that happened maybe when we were just a little kid, that we would be healed, or that maybe some part of our character would be developed, maybe that we would become more loving or more kind or patient or generous, especially when it comes to giving to the church. That's a good prayer, to be more generous. Maybe yearn for a change in attitude, how we see people around us, how we see the world. Maybe we've come to the realization that as much as we don't want to admit that we do have some racism in the deep parts of our soul, and we yearn for change. Well, I have some good news for you this morning. If you yearn for change, you are in the right place. Because the business of church is change lives. You know, I often try to prepare myself for people who may ask me on a plane or on BART. Actually, nobody talks to you on BART, so not on BART, but on a plane. You know, what do you do for a living? What business are you in? And honestly, today I don't really want to say pastor because they don't know what to do with you. And so I have the standard response. You know, I work for an organization that is in the business of changing lives. And that truly is one way that you could characterize, if you were to be pushed, the business of the church. We're about transformation and about changed lives. This is a major part of our new vision. As the dream team got together and talked, we talked a lot about transformation and about how we would hope that this would be a place, this would be a church where lives are changed. All of us are transformed. That God would be very active in this church, in our individual lives, in our church as a whole, and that he would transform us and redeem us and heal us and set us free and help us to become mature. Just like Paul wrote in this passage, that the power of God would be working deep inside of us through our union with Jesus Christ, the very one who defeated sin and death on the cross, that he who lives in us would be transforming us into the very image of himself. This is our vision, that God would change us from the inside out. Of course, this is not just our vision for the church, is it? This is God's vision for the church. And as we just read in Ephesians, the book, church book, God outlines his vision for the church. And Paul says that the church is a place where lives are changed, where lives become more mature, that we work together using the spiritual gifts, which we'll talk about in a few weeks, that God gives us to to minister to each other, to help one another to grow, to change, to be free, become mature, until, he says, we all come to the unity of the faith. There's a mark of maturity of a church. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, he writes. Now listen to this. To the measure of the fullness of Christ. The measure of the fullness of Christ. This is God's goal for us. This is what God is doing in our lives. To be complete. One word we use for this a lot in the New Testament, teleos. Complete. As James says, lacking in nothing. This is God's goal, that we will become conformed to the image of Christ. God wants us to grow up, Paul writes, to no longer be children, tossed to and fro, people without a strong keel, but rather grow up in every way into him, Christ, who is the head of the church. See, when God calls us, which we talked about a couple weeks, it's not a static event. It's not a one-time thing. You know, for so long, people think that's what it is. It's all about just salvation. No. It's the beginning of a journey. It's the beginning of a process. Boy, God has so much more for us. I love the verse, I quote it a lot, Philippians 1:6, where Paul writes to this church who's having some problems, and he writes to them, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a work in you individually and y'all will complete it on the day of Christ Jesus." He begins it. He keeps working in us. He won't let us go, and he will finish the work that he has begun on the day of Christ Jesus, when he will make all things new, all of creation, and we will be complete, lacking in nothing. God doesn't let us go. He always holds on to us, and I love to see this in people that I've known for years and years. People who are in my youth group 30-some years ago in Pleasanton, you know, who have walked away from the church as young adults, and then I'll run into them now, and wow, something has happened where God the bulldog holds on to them, won't let them go, and they come back, and they begin to grow again. God is faithful. That's an encouragement for us, folks. Amen. Thank you. Who is that back there? Doug, thank you, Doug. Christ has started his work and he will finish it. Christ is making all things new. Christ is making you new. The power of God in us. This is our vision. We want to be a church, don't we, folks? Where lives are changed. And healed and redeemed and made whole. I tell you what, this is why I do what I do. This is exciting stuff, to see God grab a life and heal it and make it whole. Praise God, huh? Thank you again, Doug. So, this is our vision, and we've had a team of people in our church who have been working on a plan for almost a year to help us as a church to become just such a church. Mark Stryker, Michelle, who's just up here, and Janet Sanders were the staff, Sandy Bushek and Leslie Bedoyan were the elders, and then Michael Barham, Carolyn Chen, Daily Jordan Cook, Nancy Walters worked on this. It's a beautiful document, beautiful plan they've come up with. And they're unrolling it. And it was much needed for our church. Interesting that in the 2010 and the 2017 mission study reports, you know, every time we go through a pastoral change, we have to write a mission study, which is evaluating the church, strengths and weaknesses, what we hope to become, where we're headed. And in both those documents, going back to 2010, they said, what is really needed in our church is a pathway of discipleship, a clear kind of roadmap for people who come to faith and they want to grow. Where do they go? How do they navigate? You know, people coming to the church for the first time, I remember talking to one woman that said, I don't know how to do church. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to grow. I don't know what this is all about. She said, you know, it's almost like bowling and you're shooting for the pins, but there's a curtain in front of the pins. You don't know what you're shooting at. And it's true. Think about it. If you've never been in church, how do you do church in this big church? And so what they've done is they've laid out a plan, and it's a great plan for how you, different what we call essential experiences that you can plug into that can help you grow. It's called the Christian Formation for Missional Living, a pathway for discipleship. Now, they read a couple books that were very influential in the formation of this plan. One of them was Invitation to a Journey by Robert Mulholland. And he describes spiritual formation as a journey. And that's what we really hope that will become part of our language in this church. A spiritual journey that all of us are on. And here's what he says. He describes spiritual formation in this way. He says it's a process of being formed in the image of Christ. So what I just talked about, being formed in the image of Christ. But here's an interesting thing that he says, for the sake of others, not just for ourselves. And then he defines the image of Christ. He says, the image of Christ is the image of one who gave himself totally, completely, absolutely, unconditionally for others. This is what God is transforming us into. And then he writes, when spirituality is viewed as a journey, however, the way to spiritual wholeness is seen to lie in an increasingly faithful response to the one, capital O, whose purpose shapes our path, guides us, whose grace redeems our detours. Amazing thing about grace, that even when we make bad decisions and get detoured, God uses that. Isn't that amazing? As I look back in my life, I think some of the things that God has used most in my life are the mistakes I've made. He doesn't waste anything. He'll take all the pieces of our lives and use them for transformation, whose power liberates us from crippling bondages of the prior journey. Praise God. And whose transforming presence meets us at each turn in the road. In other words, holistic spirituality is a pilgrimage of deepening responsiveness to God's control of our life and being. Those are great words. They were also influenced by the Church of the Savior in Washington, D.C. They went back to visit this church. It's been a great church for many years. Remember the sermon I gave about the pastor who was looking, just finished serving in the army, came out of World War II, was looking for a place to serve, a church to start, trying to think of what do I want the church to be like? And he was sleeping above a bar. Remember that? Trying to go to sleep and people in the bar kept waking him up. And so he went down there to tell him to be quiet. Yeah, good luck with that. And he went down and he was sitting at the bar trying to get the attention of the bartender, and he looked around and he saw, wow, these people are enjoying each other. They love each other. They know each other's names. Remember this? And then the next day he went to church, and the people were like dead. And he vowed, he said, Lord, when I start a church, I want my church to be more like a bar than a church. Remember that? This is that church. And they went there and they use the term inward, or the slogan inward, outward, together. This is the description of the spiritual life. Three key components that we hope all of us will know. Inward, outward, together. The basic commitments of the Christian life. Commitment to this inner journey, being transformed by Christ, our relationship with Christ. Outward, doing the work of God in the world. Together, that we always do it together. This inward journey part, it's the soul work. It's the inner journey is the process by which our character is changed and we begin to take on the very character of Christ. It's not superficial change that God is talking about here. Remember what Michelle said from 2 Corinthians? Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. It's not a remodel, folks. Even those remodels in the Bay Area where they leave just a bathroom and they change the rest of the house for tax purposes. Have you ever seen that? Not even that. Whole new house. It's what God wants to do in our life. The old things have gone. The new have come. This is the richness of the inner life. It's not just superficial change. It's not techniques. It's not branding yourself. It's God working inside of us. Deep in our hearts. Transforming us from the inside out. Three engagements of this inner life. Engagement with self, with God, with others. John Calvin, the great reformer, he said, you know, there is no deep knowing of God without a deep knowing of self. This is brilliant. And no deep knowing of self without a deep knowing of God. Key part of the journey, you got to know yourself. Honestly look at yourself, and you got to know God. They work together, inextricably linked. We can't really know ourselves in a true way until we know God. So part of this inner journey is this self-examination where in the safety and the beauty of grace and unconditional love, we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit, searching light in our lives. Open ourselves up and let him do his work in our, deep in our hearts. Man, this is the part of the journey where much of the transformation comes through our engagement with spiritual practices or discipline, like studying scripture. They found, as they researched this, that studying scripture was the key component to transformation in our lives. It still works. Interacting with the Word of God. Things like solitude. You know, Henry Nouwen says, solitude is the furnace of transformation. Spending time alone, listening to the word for the voice of God. We know ourselves, God works in us. We discover how we've been shaped by God, what our spiritual gifts are, so that we may then go into the outward journey, serving, working for God's kingdom according to how we have been shaped, according to how God has gifted us with certain gifts. Remember, Mulholland writes, this inner journey, this transformation, is just not for us. It's for the sake of others. We join God in his mission in the world, Missio Dei, the mission of God, this God who is mission. You know, I find it very interesting that the Sermon on the Mount, you know the Sermon on the Mount? Very first part of that is what? The Beatitudes. I love the Beatitudes. They describe the character of the person who has been grabbed by the grace of God, been gospelized, as I like to say. What is it? Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who have come to the end of their own rope. Blessed are those who mourn, who hurt for the things that break the heart of God. They mourn the things that break the heart of God. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are you when people persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Wow, countercultural. So here is this character of the person who has been transformed by God. And then what is the writer of the Sermon on the Mount or Jesus preaching, what does he talk about? He says, by the way, you are the light of the world. And you are the salt of the earth. Gives us a mission. Changes us. Now go be those people out in the world doing my work. And he said, don't light that, or don't hide that light under a bushel, remember? But let it shine. Inextricably linked. The transformation of our character and the mission of God. Boy, some of the most powerful transformation that I have witnessed in people's lives is a result of them participating in the mission of God, of the work of God in the world, especially when they're serving the poor, washing the feet of the marginalized, the least, the lost, and the left out. Inward, outward, together, these journeys, they're always personal. There's always unique. No journey is the same, which is amazing, but they're never private. We always share it with brothers and sisters in Christ who speak into our lives in love, speaking the truth in love, Paul says, who will hold us accountable, who will help us grow, who will call forth our gifts. We see this in our scripture today. Our vision, our hope for our church is that no one walks alone. That everyone in our church has a couple of people, at least two or three people, who are committed to walking together with you and speaking into your life, that you know each other well enough that you can speak the word of truth in love to one another, that you can call forth gifts, that you know each other well enough that you can journey this journey together, fellow sojourners. That is our vision for the church in community groups, in groups of two or three, good friends. God has designed us to go on this journey together, never alone. You know, I've been in a covenant group with some friends. I've talked about this before for, I think, 30-some years. Man, I'll have to tell you, this has been a catalyst for growth for me, maybe more than anything else. One of the experiences I had in this is, I think I've mentioned this before, I walked with one of these friends through a divorce, and that was a catalyst for growth in his life. Changed him. And in this time of recovering from this divorce, you know what? He went deeper in this inner life. He felt the need. And he took this prayer called the Spiritual Exercises of St. Ignatius, which teaches you this prayer of examine at the end of every day. I took the class. At the end of every day, you examine your life. You look at your day. Where was the Holy Spirit working in my life today, in my interactions with people? Where did I listen to the Spirit? Where did I walk away from? I mean, it changes you. And as I watched him as he took this class and he went through this and he went deeper into his inner life, you know what? He was transformed. And I always loved him, but I liked him a lot better after he took this class. You know why? He listened. This class teaches you how to listen to God, and I think what happened with him is he was no longer trying to control things. He would release it to God, and he would listen. He was a better friend. He was more open. Open to other people. Open to what God was doing in his life. Softer. Do you know what I'm saying? God changes us. When we open up the sails of our lives to the wind of the Spirit, we want everyone to go together on this journey. And finally, what is the role of the church? Well, here's the role of the church in all this, is we want to provide opportunities for growth for you. And this is what we've put together in this vision. opportunities of essential experiences to help you grow. Our vision is that deeply embedded in the culture of our church would be this desire to grow, to mature, to move past kindergarten. We want all of us to be well-versed in the stages of faith, the five stages of faith, so that we understand what stage we're in and what it's like and what are the special challenges. We also want to have classes in these essential experiences for people in all five stages. One of the things we discovered in this research was most churches have classes, experiences for people right in the middle, but not for the people who are later in spiritual maturity, not for the people in the beginning. And as we looked at our church, that's exactly us. So people who have been walking with Christ for many, many years, you know what we found? Huge study. They become disillusioned. They become bored. They become disillusioned with the church because there's nothing new for them. And so what we want to do is have these experiences for all the stages of faith and for you to know what those stages are. We want you to know what the catalysts for growth are. What are those things that really help you grow? All of us. We want all of us to know those things. What are the barriers to growth? And then we want to offer you these opportunities, like spiritual practices. November of 2020, Susan Phillips, who goes all over the world teaching this class, will offer an all-day retreat on the spiritual practices or spiritual disciplines. In January, we're having a class on the stages of faith taught by Kate Rakin, who teaches neuroscience at UCSF to medical students and has her PhD from Fuller School of Psych. Want you to know about the stages of faith. Starting point, for those of you right at the beginning, calling for you in February, a class to help you discover how God has uniquely designed you with your spiritual gifts so that you know who you are in Christ. Huge part of the will of God for your life. Ecumenical communities, community groups, folks, we are offering a lot, but here, the last point. What we discovered in all this study is that intentionality is key. We can offer all these great experiences, but if you don't take advantage of them, no good. You know, you can stall in your spiritual growth. Now, let me be clear. God does the work. It's God who works in us, who brings about the change. But you know what? We have to open ourselves up to the Spirit working. We have to place ourselves in situations where God's Spirit can work in our lives. Last point I'll make. This is the third last point, by the way. Sadly, most Christians, this is a study done by George Gallup, 84% of Christians in mainline churches never move beyond the initial stages of faith. They never graduate from kindergarten. Now, why is that? Intentionality. My goal here today, if you couldn't tell, is to light a fire under us. For us to be intentional about growing and to continue to grow in our faith throughout all of life. You know, I talked to a number of our kind of older congregants after the first worship service today, and they said, you know, it's easy to stall in the last stage of life. My prayer almost every day is, God, help me to finish well. Help me to finish strong. Help me to keep growing. I pray that it's your prayer too. Amen. God, we pray that as a church, as the body of Christ, that you would work, do a deep work in us, both individually and in our life together. Lord, change us, transform us, heal us, redeem us, grow us, so that we may be faithful people, doing your work in the world for the sake of others. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.